Mr. Douglas, Reel 13. We were just talking about conditions in the trenches there, and...
Well, you weren't in trenches, not all the time.
Your positions.
You didn't apart from Stand 2 and night morning. You could move around. We had trick trenches to go in case there was any shelling. But you just did what you might write a letter home, go to the latrine. I had inspections, rifle inspections, and I used to go around my sections and get a report from each section's commander. You know, say I think it was all right. Then I had a report to my company commander.
Who was your company commander at this time?
Walton, I call him. He was a captain. And we had company headquarters at the rear end of the tunnel. That was where company headquarters, he, that's where he had his little place, you know. And him and his batman had a place to lie at night. And I had it there as well, like a platoon sergeant. He's a good company commander, decent fella. He didn't expect any excessive duties from me, you know, as long as we did our job, and that was it. But I think it was Walton, I'm not sure. Funny, I should remember his name. But my memory of names is absolutely hopeless now. I can't remember anything. Not names. I remember things and places and that, but not the names.
How did you maintain your positions? Was there much work needed doing on your defensive positions?
Not a lot. No. Trenches were kept, you know, to make sure the sandbags was intact and everything, and there wasn't really a lot, because I say there wasn't, we got our rations up and everything was quiet, but take patrols out.
Did
not through the day.
I was just going to ask that. Did rations come up at night time?
No, they come through the day. Came through the day. But of course, you see, they were okay, because behind us, it was very hilly, mountainous, and behind us was a hill higher than ours, and the road went round so that they couldn't be seen. They weren't in sight practically anywhere, apart from when you got up to where we were. Then, of course, there were. There didn't seem to be anybody on this mountain on our right. It was a good steep thing, and I rather expected there to be somebody up there. I looked up there with binoculars all times, but I never saw any. But further to the front. And I think it was D Company on my left. And so as the road went, the hill and it went down, and some of the hill, lower hill, and that's where D Company were, I think. So I think it would be that, then B Company reserve.
What about on a night time? Did things change then? What sort of things were you doing on a night time?
Well, I would maybe take a patrol out.
What kinds of patrols were there? Were there different kinds of patrols?
Just reconnaissance patrol. I never took a fighting patrol. We went. It was always quiet. It was good training for the men to be quiet. You know, move silently.
How many men would go on a patrol?
Well, I generally pick good men, about 10. maybe six, depending on what the situation was. And we were armed, of course, but I had reports from the sections of one particular Corporal Davison, Lance Corporal Davison. I seen two bloody German officers. He says, "I were on that flat ground yonder, where they were beyond these tanks." He says, "I seen them because the moon was shining, you know, it was quite light at night." And he swore that he seen these two officers, and I think he was right. And I start to patrols out and approached from different directions and went over them. I've never ever seen any or heard anything. But I think he must have been right, because when we left that position, the Germans attacked, put an attack in and overran it.
Did you go on the patrols yourself?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Was there always a specific object to the patrol?
Well, your object is to observe, isn't it? I mean, you go to reconnaissance for a new week, you've got your eyes open, seeing, has anything changed, you know? Keep your eyes and ears open, listen, move silently, and I'll generally take a circular route. Change your route. You never go on the same route twice, just in case. But we never met anything, or never found anything. I mean, it was always the same. But of course, you see, they must have put patrols out and all. But they were high up, like, you know. They didn't really. They would hear anything that approached them. But we never went that far up the mountain in front of where they were. We went to the bottom of it, but it was a good way, like, you know, and we could always travel that way. You don't move fast, you know, on a patrol. You're careful. Stop and you listen. And you have hand signals. And you whisper, if you talk at all, so that you don't travel very fast.
What sort of equipment and weapons would you take on a patrol?
Oh, we took your ordinary weapons. Didn't take a brain gun. I didn't take a brain gun. Because it just becomes, I wasn't there to fight. I was there to find out anything that was going on and get back the information. That's the thing. You don't... fight. You get out of it quick and get back if you can and get the information back. So I didn't took a Ben Gun. We just had the rifles and grenades. Grenades is always handy, like. But apart from that, you know.
What was the men's reaction to having to go on these patrols?
Well, they were all right, like, they weren't all that keen. Because it was disrupting their sleep to start with. They got less sleep, they were out there, and they were round them about 12 o'clock at night, and maybe not come back till maybe 2:30 in the morning. And then they could get on, get their head down, have a bit of sleep, like, you know. So they weren't too bad, you know. Some of them didn't care for it. Because they had to be quiet. You know. Some of them were a bit scared, I think, maybe. You know. And none of them ever got used to going past them stinking tanks. The smell was terrible of them. There were our tanks, and there weren't Germans, there was. But there was dead bodies in them. But you see, there had been booby traps. Told to keep away from them.
I guess they must have been there as a constant reminder to people.
Well, you knew that you were under observation. You could be killed, but it was wasn't a very imminent threat. if you understand what I mean. You didn't expect getting a bullet when any rifle fire or anything like that, just shell fire. But the range would be a bit much maybe for rifle fire, unless you had a sniper's rifle, like, but we didn't, I never came across any snipers.
There was no fear of any other attack. You weren't
very
strafed by rifle fire, as you say.
It was quiet. It was,
or mortar fire or anything of that nature.
You see, all the fighting was on the Desert Rats side. That's where they were fighting. They were coming up past the mountain, and that's where the fighting was. And we were told, Alexander, I think, was the commander, there was a ring. They had the ring around them. We chased them up as far as Tunis, and we had to hold them while they swept them up. So that was really just our duty to hold them and hold them, keep them there, not let them break out. That was what we were told.
Were you able to sleep at night time?
Oh yes, I slept well if I wasn't on patrol.
What about guards on the night time and other duties?
Oh yes, you had to have your guards. Like, you know, as I say, you were. If you had a patrol out, and there was always one man on sentry duty in the tunnel, maybe two overlap, you know, tours, one man on tours and in the hour to overlap with the next man, so that they could sometimes they went to sleep, I suppose. It was too quiet. If there was any noise at all, would have been alerted, so you would have heard. Unless it was, as I say, there'd been, but there's never anything apart from them two Arabs. And I never got over that, them two Arabs, with that sheep or goats or something. And they were in the middle of the war. And that hurt. They never got hurt. We never bothered them. They never bothered them. Because it was a quiet part of the country. There was no houses and out like that. You know, miles. So, Bizerta was the nearest place. Bizerta, that was 4 or 5 miles further back.
Did you have any working parties?
Well, depend on what, if you had any to do. Digging latrines, things like that.
Was the position wired? Did you have barbed wire? Was the position wired? Was the barbed wire?
Oh no, there's no defences, nothing like that.
No minefields, so.
There's no. There might have been minefields. Further up the road, I think there were minefields, the mines. But we didn't have any mines in front of our position. I don't suppose that they would have intelligence. Never. And I don't think it was a very. Not at that particular time, might have been later on, like, but there didn't seem to be. Any indication of them putting an attack in. So it was quiet. Just as well, like. And I say, we've got the odd shell, we've got a few shells coming over. But, they didn't do a lot of damage. Never wounded anybody or killed anybody. So we got used to them.
So morale was quite good at this time. Morale within the unit,
yes,
was quite good.
Very good. Uh-huh.
Was there, I mean, you mentioned this chap who had this, well, the self-inflicted wound. Were there any other cases of fatigue and stress amongst the men in these circumstances?
Well, there were. The morale was high. They were quite happy. They did their job. They kept themselves clean. Kept the rifle weapons clean. And there was no complaints. So we just had a cushy number, really, you might say. You know. There's a couple English. She said, I can hear truck vehicles. He was nice. He swore blind. I can hear truck vehicles. And I said, are you sure? I said, can it? But he was right. But there must have been a good way away. But there was track vehicles, because as events turned out later, that didn't know that particular time, but later on, we found out these things.
Do you have any specific recollections of the men and the officers that you were with at that time?
Well,
any stick in your mind? Any recollections about?
Most my own company officer was the one I had most to do with, and there was others. I remember Captain Clark, Gingerhead officer. He was D Company, because he's the one I fell out with over the Bren guns, you know, and they transferred me to C Company. But he had D Company, and he was he came up to spend a day in the forward observation post. And I warned him. I said, well, keep your head down, sir. I said, you can see. I said, it's a well-camouflaged position. I said, they don't know it's there. But I said, if they see any movement, I said, they're sure to start shelling. Well, he stuck it out for 4 or 5 hours. Bugger all down here. Of course, he's standing up and looking around. Oh, over they came. I was very annoyed about that, because it was the only place where I could make a really decent forward post without them, because there wasn't a lot of vegetation about, and there was sort of a few bushes scrub and that. There was a lot of shell holes, you know. So I hadn't. That's the belt I've got to thank him for, because he's a good officer, brave man. But he got his bloody could have got his head took off.
What about the soldiers that were in your particular company, in your particular platoon? What were they like?
The officers and my...
The soldiers, the ordnance?
Oh, they were
the
good.
Privates in your...
They were good soldiers. They were good soldiers. They were well-trained. Happy enough. And they knew how to use their weapons. I kept on top of them that way, you know. Made sure that the... looked after their weapons, and then became second nature to them eventually, you know. And they were happy set of lads. Army section leaders were quite happy. Crack a joke, and one came from Newcastle, I remember, Orange, Lance Corporal Orange. he used to talk broad Geordie. And he'd have his little bits of groans and grumbles, you know, and grumble mostly about the food. Because, as I say, we got a monotonous bloody diet. We always got the worst of the ration boxes when they came up. We got fed, you know. In fact, the food was badly. But the boxed rations, jam and bully, the dish of bloody bully again. But apart from that, they were quite happy set of men. course, it was quiet. It was me. You know, everybody can be having, you know, conditions like that. It's when the stress sets in that you start to get trouble.
Did you have any other contact with any other units? Any other contact with any other units?
No, not in that position. As I say, there was I was D company on my left. Either D or B in one another company in reserve, like further back. But we didn't have much contact with anybody. D company, B company on my left. D company on my right, and we were in the centre, C company.
How long were you there for then, in that forward position?
Well, I don't remember. Must have been there for a fair while. We went back to Bizerta once and had a bath. You know, they take you so many.
You were taken out of the line for a period.
No, not when some of them taken out for a bath and then come back. You know, you got your turns. You have a truck come up and take.
What happened then? And when you were taken back for a bath,
you just went and had a bath, shower, and that in Bizerta, that place is where you could get a good bath and get a change of underwear. There's kind of a bit of underwear missing from there. Used to bargain with the Arabs. Used to bargain for eggs for a white signal. They went mad for a white signal. These Arabs thought they were marvellous. And they bargained for eggs. They used to produce eggs from all over there. They got the against them. No more eggs. They'll fetch you another one. The lads used to bargain with them for eggs, like anything for a sort of for a bit of variety of diet. Because you get fed in the army, but you get adequate food, but you're never really full. You know, you get enough to keep you fit, but you're sometimes a bit hungry. And of course, there was always the meal. The meal used to come up. That was quite an event if the meal came up.
Was that important, meal and news from home?
Oh, yes, very important. Very important. Get a letter from home was a wonderful thing. She didn't get it every day. But you got a letter, maybe, you know, once in a week, once in a while. Different, some got more letters than others.
What about parcels? Did you get parcels from home as well?
I never got any parcels. We weren't in a situation where it was applicable to get parcels, I suppose. Might have been some in the mail, but I never.
Can you remember any people getting bad news from home?
Oh, yes, sometimes they got bad news, a relation dying, something like that, you know. But just, you know, something that happened, you couldn't do anything about it. If you got a letter and say, your auntie Flo's died, that was it. And some of them, I say some of them came from London area, and there was areas. And they were almost a bit worried about what was happening and hoping to get a letter, see if things were all right and that. The usual, everyday sort of threats and worries. But you got through your days. We were fortunate in lots of ways that we didn't have any real action, you know, any real heavy fighting. We got some shelling. It wasn't like a barrage. A barrage is a terrible thing.
Were there any casualties?
No, never had any hurt. I say they're mostly the landed on this sort of flattish hill sloping downwards slightly and a bit steeper sloping. On the reverse slope, you know, the shells either landed way behind you, or most of them landed, aimed to land on the top of the hill. There's a lot of shells, all pockmarked shells, like, you know. But me Stanto trenches was at the back of the, you know, we'd been unfortunate to get a hit on a trench. But never got one. I think once I had to put out, one of the trenches got demolished a bit, I had to put some of my sandbags and camouflage it up.
Did you get any other relief from the front line whilst you were there?
Any other
relief from the front line? I mean, you described going back for a bath. Any other times when you got out of the line?
No.
And how long were you there for?
Well, there from, I believe they must have been there for a month or 6 weeks. Can't remember very exactly, but it was a quiet time, just the days came in the past, you went over and you did your duties and you took your patrols out, and as I say, we weren't really there to do anything, we were there to hold them, not to stop them if they came, sort of thing. You're here, you're well dug in, make sure they don't go past you, sort of. That was the idea, I think.
Were you ever visited by any of the more senior officers whilst you were there?
I think once, so some of them came up. They were big wigs, and I think there were some Americans with them, but they came up and they viewed the thing, looked, but they didn't had any contact with them. I didn't have any contact with them. They didn't just come and had a look. And
so were you ever briefed on what your role was whilst you were there and what was going on elsewhere?
Well, as I say, we were told that the 8th Army was coming up and sweeping them forward and destroying them, and we had them in a ring, and we had to hold them there. It was our job to hold them while the 8th Army destroyed them, make sure that they don't break out and get away anywhere. That was our job.
So you were aware of this, and you were
more or less, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you say you were there for about 6 weeks.
Oh, I'd be there, maybe more. I don't know. It'll be January. I don't know when it's. Maybe a couple of months. I remember. We were there a fair while.
And where did you go to after that? What happened after that?
What happened was our battalion commander, he went off for a conference with the big wigs, the 8th Army, not the Americans and whatnot, started meeting. And the second in command thought he'd make a name for himself, because there was there was another place further on, and in the heights weren't mountains, you know, more like rolling hills. And so he'd capture this place. The Germans were there, all right, and afterwards, I did hear that he got cashiered, like, probably wanted to make a name for himself. But he put this attack in, and we were pulled out of the lane. And the Green Howards took over our position. And we went back to Berserta. I was told we were going to attack this position. The